Them killing Christians is going to get them 72 virgins in heaven. That Islam is public enemy number one against Christ.
Islam is the fastest growing religion in the U.S., like it or lump it. You know, you're talking about serious millions.
Through many of these occurrences and events, people come to Islam.
Message that all the prophets brought was that we should worship God alone.
That's where the topic of hijrah comes in.
With Jake Lang and these other Islamophobes try to start fitna. Wherever you go in the world, you will find Muslims.
A lot of people feel quite confused when it comes to the Trinity.
The Old Testament, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioned by name in...
This is the Deen.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace. Now, here are some facts you don't hear often. Muslims helped build America. This is not an opinion, it's an historical fact. From the very beginning of this country, enslaved Muslims were brought to America, practiced Islam, and left behind documented writings, letters, and autobiographies, with historians placing the number as high as 30% in certain regions, and possibly more, since many were forced to conceal or abandon their faith under Christian slavery, justifying it with the Bible, unfortunately. This is also documented. There's also documented historical evidence and scholarly research discussing Muslims' presence in the Americas prior to Columbus. Prior to Columbus, Muslims have been part of America since its earliest days, helped build it with their labor, intellect, and faith. Islam, submission to the Creator, not the creation. And our Americans, past, present, and future. Yet today, many hate provocateurs are openly calling for Muslims to be kicked out of America. It's unbelievable. A country Muslims helped build. And that's why my next guest is asking a very serious question. Is it time to make hijrah? Joining us today is Dr. Bilal Phillips, founder of IOU University, renowned scholar, author, chancellor, and international speaker. Dr. Bilal, welcome to the show along with Abdul Rahman. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmah.
How are you, Shay? How's everything with you?
I'm fine, alhamdulillah. It's good to see you again and join you on the Deen Show. You know, I've been around since the founding of the Deen Show along with you.
Yes, you have.
And, mashallah, it's really blossomed and grown and developed globally. And alhamdulillah, it's very good for us to link up again and do some things together for the sake and the pleasure of Allah.
Now, you heard me open the show and I was talking about the Muslim presence in America, past, present, and future. And then I'm going to get into this video now because, unfortunately, as Muslims, many don't study history. You know, they're not aware of these facts. And now the situation here in America is that some are calling for Muslims to leave. And that's where the topic comes into hijrah, because you're not actually saying stay. You're like, it might be time to go. So, but let's get into this clip here and I'm going to get your guys' reaction.
If you're not in your word, you don't understand that Islam is public enemy number one against Christ. Islam goes against everything Christ teaches. I don't care how this makes you feel. If you're uncomfortable with this, that just means you're uncomfortable with the truth that Christ came here to teach. Islam does not worship God, quote unquote. Islam worships Satan. Look at the Quran. Look at what they're teaching. Look at what's going on in Africa right now. They are killing these people because that's what they're supposed to do. They are killing Christians because that's what their Quran tells them to do. That's what Allah tells them to do. In their mind, them killing Christians is going to get them 72 virgins in heaven. That's what we're dealing with right now. That is what is coming to our front door if we don't stand firm in the truth.
All right.
Allah guide you.
Ameen. Now, you used to be a Christian also, and your story's out there. I don't know, Abdurrahman, salam alaikum, welcome to the show, how are you?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Brother Eddie and Dr. Bilal Phillips. It's a pleasure to be here.
You're also from the IOU University?
Alhamdulillah, I'm here as the U.S. representative for IOU.
Are you also a convert to Islam?
Not me, but both of my parents. My father from Colombia originally, and my mother, who's American.
Now, tell me, what are your guys' thoughts when you see this person who's in a uniform. He's supposed to be upholding the Constitution. He's calling Islam evil. He's talking about Islam goes against everything Christ teaches. Islam does not worship God. What else did he say? Islam worships Satan. Look at the Quran. The teachings calls to go after Christians and what's happening in Africa. You spent a lot of time in Africa, Sheikh Dr. Bilal Phillips. You're one of our scholars. What do you say when you see this, when you hear this? What is your response to this this police officer?
Well, he's obviously ignorant. He doesn't know what the teachings of Islam are. And he's heard propaganda, you know, by ignorant missionaries, you know, who have tried to promote Christianity at the expense of Islam or at the expense of Muslims, or denigrating Muslims. This is not new. It's been around. People in ignorance, you know, it's not uncommon to hear them say things like he said, may God guide him, forgive him for his ignorance. But the fact of the matter is that Islam is the fastest growing religion in the U.S. Like it or lump it, you know, that's the reality. And every time new incidents occur globally, in the Muslim world, etc., and non-Muslims go to try to find out what is this Muslim country, you know, what is Islam, and so, then a new wave of people join Islam. You know, this is the worst incidents that you could think of, you know, 9/11, for example. You know, the number of thousands of people who accepted Islam after 9/11, you know, speaks to the facts about the truth. Not that 9/11 was an act that made people accept Islam. No, it was an evil act. Islam doesn't support it. However, the fact of the matter is that Islam does not call to killing innocent people. Of course, if there is war and one has to fight to defend oneself, then that's reality, no matter how much a person might think that they are Christian and they don't kill others, etc., etc. But when war comes, you know, how many people died in World War I and World War II? You know, you're talking about serious millions. You know, so really, you know, the Christian world that have fought the world wars, you know, and Nagasaki and Hiroshima, were tens of thousands of people were killed in instants, explosion of atomic bombs, people just dying. Not people who are necessarily fighting or anything, innocent people, completely innocent, killed, wiped out, you know. And the people who did this were Christians. So is that what Christianity teaches? No, of course not. No, that's not what the teachings of Jesus was about. But ignorant people, you know, who don't have knowledge of the true teachings that are at the foundation of what we now know today as Christianity, the teachings which Jesus brought, which were in fact from the Muslim belief, Islamic teachings. There's no difference between what Jesus taught and what Jesus practiced, and what Muslims believe and what Muslims practice. You know, it's a continuation.
So when he says that Islam goes against everything Christ teaches, what does that actually mean? Because it's a part of...
It means he doesn't know what Christ taught. that's what it means fundamentally. Yeah. He doesn't have any idea. He just hears what's said, by this preacher and that preacher and the other. He's not gone through and studied, Christianity. I mean, how is it that we have people who are priests, nuns, from the church accepting Islam? We have larger proportions of trained and scholarly Christians who have accepted Islam, where you won't find any trained scholarly Muslim accepting Christianity. Though they recognize Jesus as a prophet of God, and all Muslims are required to recognize Jesus as a prophet of God, that we don't pray to him or pray through him, we pray to God as he prayed to God.
What was the other? Islam does not worship God. Islam, that was one of his other statements. Islam does not worship God.
That's clear evidence of ignorance, serious ignorance. And of course, when you're ignorant, you can say anything.
Anything, yeah. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable the kind of things that, and he's hearing a lot of this stuff later on. It goes on, it seems like, from his church and his pastor. Islam worships Satan. That's one of the things he said. Islam worships Satan.
This is, of course, totally absurd. Muslims recognize Satan and the satanic world as the enemy of God and human beings. So, as Islam teaches us to keep satanic forces at bay, we don't allow them to take over the world. We struggle with them collectively and along with all others who struggle similarly, so that this world can be a better place in which God alone is worshipped. From God alone, success will come at the end of this world.
Abdurrahman, what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts reacting to this police officer, some of the comments that he made in uniform?
So, subhanAllah, it's very shocking that the people entrusted to protect the people of the United States under this constitution are saying things in this regard. It's absolutely unacceptable. And what we'll find, what Dr. Bilal has just mentioned, is the reoccurrence of this throughout history. And this will continue to happen, has been happening since the beginning of this ummah. And what we'll find is that our responsibility as Muslims is that when these events happen, yes, they are tragedies and they're terrible, many of them. But there is a slight blessing in disguise that through many of these occurrences and events, people come to Islam. And it is our responsibility as Muslims to know how to respond to people when they say things like this. And unfortunately, it's very sad that people in masses are coming out and saying that Muslims are not, they're not able to intertwine with our American and Western values, which is not something necessarily that we want to do. But to say that we are incompatible with living with people in the West and non-Muslims is very far from the truth. And alhamdulillah, we can see that the legacy in the foundation of International Open University brings about a world where, alhamdulillah, anyone, anywhere can get Islamicized higher education and learn about the deen and be able to respond properly in the way Allah Azza wa Jalla and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, obligated for us to. And I think that is the thing that I would bring to the table in this situation, is that I hope and I pray that more of us Muslims take up the stand and learn the deen in the way that we should, so that we are able to navigate not only these situations, but able to bring people to Islam through them.
He mentioned, Dr. Bilal, he mentioned Africa and that the Quran is what's happening in Africa. You spent a lot of time in Africa, haven't you? And he's trying to use the Quran, that it's saying that the Quran is calling the Muslims to oppress the Christians, and that's why things are happening the way they're happening negatively against Christians from Muslims due to the Quran calling Muslims to go ahead and oppress Christians?
Well, of course, that's again an expression of ignorance. You know, so we feel sorry for him and we ask Allah to guide him, God,
Ameen.
Almighty. The reality, of course, in terms of what the message of Islam is that of worshiping one God, the God of Adam, and the God of all of the prophets between Adam and the last of the prophets, Muhammad, may God's peace and blessings be on all of them. The message that all the prophets brought was that we should worship God alone. We should not worship along with God other demigods. We shouldn't worship instead of God, the one true God, other gods by other names, from other ways in which human beings have deviated from worshiping the one true God. There's only one God. There's only one human race. There's only one religion, which God created for human beings. It's this oneness that unites human beings on earth. And it is through implementing this oneness in our lives, oneness of worshiping God, meaning worshiping the commands of God along with God. Because if we are worshiping God, whatever he commands us to do, we should also do it. So it's worshiping God and living a life in accordance with the commands which God has revealed for his prophets that he has sent to the human race, human beings in different parts of the earth. And we believe that prophets were sent, as we were told, to all nations and tribes across the earth.
Now, tell me, this is the kind of thing, the rhetoric that we're hearing, and this is causing a lot of people to fear Muslims and Islam, and they become victims to the hate propaganda. And many, because of that fear, are talking about get Muslims out of here, get them, you know, kick them out of America, et cetera, et cetera. Now, that's where the topic of hijrah comes in, this concept of hijrah. Can you talk about this, Dr. Bilal and Abdurrahman? This is the situation now that's happening. And instead of saying stay, you're suggesting possibly is it time to leave?
Well, the principle of immigration, of leaving the land that you're in and going to another land, is something which existed from the earliest of times. In the time of Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, his companions who were suffering in Mecca, a number of his companions emigrated to Abyssinia because it was revealed to the Prophet that there was a ruler in Abyssinia who worshipped the one true God and came to their support when they emigrated to Abyssinia. And that process of emigrating is what is called hijrah in Islamic Arabic. You may hear it used in different occasions, and this is what it refers to. It refers to leaving either a land of disbelief and going to the land of Islam, or it could be from a land of innovation. You know, there are Muslims there, but they have gone off the path and got involved in heresies, practices which are what they call in Arabic bid'ah, you know, innovation, which happens to religions after prophets die. You know, their followers, it's not uncommon historically that the followers have deviated from the original teachings. Or it could be leaving a land which is dominated by haram. You know, that the haram being what is forbidden by God, what God has forbidden. But if haram things become dominant in that land, that Muslims are encouraged to leave that area. If they're not able to change it, if they're able to change it, then of course it's better to stay and try to change it, to correct the situation. But if they're unable, then it's better for them to leave and go to a place where they can practice the teachings of Islam, the teachings of true worship of God, without fear. And it could be, Hijra could be also for people looking to improve the quality of their life. You know, they're from other countries where the quality of life is low. They want to improve for themselves and their families. So they go to other countries where the economies are better and they are able to then benefit their family. And even on a theoretical perspective, a non-tangible perspective, where we're talking about leaving whatever God has forbidden, the process of doing that is itself also considered to be hijra. So hijra can take a number of different forms. And in the U.S., many have left the U.S. and moved to Muslim countries in other parts of the world because they feel pressure from the society to conform to certain norms and accepted practices in the U.S. which go against the teachings, you know, of Islam. So a person has to look at their individual situations and decide whether it's time for them to emigrate to another country where they can better practice Islam in safety and in peace as an option for a better life.
Abdurrahman, your comments, because you're actually from America. You were born in America?
That's correct. Yes, you're in Dallas, Texas.
What are your thoughts? You understand the climate and what's happening now? Are you feeling it? And what are your reflections and thoughts on everything?
SubhanAllah, I'm sure you've heard about what happened at Epic Masjid. It's been very popular here with Jake Lang and these other Islamophobes who decided to come down here and try to start fitna, to terrorize the Muslim community. To sort of bring about an image that Muslims are taking over, even though we make up less than 1% or so of the population. SubhanAllah. What I find is that in these moments, you know, from here on forward, it's only going to get hotter. And we might be living in the times where the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that, you know, holding on to your deen will be like burning coals in your hand, holding on to burning coals. And if we're not there, then we're getting close to there. And we find that this movement, this Islamophobic movement, this push to remove Muslims, third worlders, anyone who is not pure, maybe white and Aryan is the way they like it, from the country is absolutely wrong on every single level. And we as Muslims have to stand up for not only our rights, but what's true and what's correct. And what Dr. Bilal was just saying is the fact that there are different forms of hijra. And sometimes we're not able to make the biggest form of hijra, and there's different forms of it. One of those forms is preparing yourself by removing the fawahisha and the evil, the fitna, and moving towards that which is good. So I encourage everyone, whether or not they have the ability or they make the choice to make hijra, there are smaller hijras that we can make. And sometimes it's not best to take the biggest step first, but to take the smaller steps that will eventually lead you to being successful in taking that big step.
I want to go ahead and take a minute and bring out someone who's reached out, ML Paneer. He's actually from, born in South Africa. He's a Christian from New Zealand, and he has some questions about Islam. He wanted to ask some questions, and we have Dr. Bilal Phillips here, who can, inshallah, go ahead and help us to answer some of these questions. How are you, Emil? Is that you, Emil?
Yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
How are you? So you're originally from South Africa?
Yes, and raised in New Zealand and currently living in Australia. So it's a bit of a mixed bag.
We have Dr. Bilal Phillips here, and we have Abdurrahman, is from the IOU University, and myself. So please, you said you had some questions, some basic questions about Islam. What made you interested to learn more about Islam?
Well, a friend from South Africa who was in primary school with me just about 2 years ago converted over to Islam. He had moved to New Zealand as well. And sort of amongst the group of people that I was raised with and so on, that was kind of unheard of because we're all Christian, you know. So at the very first moment, I was first pulled back a little bit because I was like, what's happening? This is my mate. I've known him for since we were seven, you know, and all of a sudden he converts over to Islam. But then I actually called him up and I said, hey, bro, why did you convert over? Instead of being like pushed away, I was like, here's my mate, here's my brother, let's hear him out, let's hear what he's got to say. And so the big thing there, what happened was he didn't started expressing that he was reading through the Bible, a whole bunch of things didn't really make sense to him, and then he started reading the Quran and he felt that the Quran made a lot more sense. And so he then started asking me a whole bunch of questions about my own faith. And so first off, you feel a little uncomfortable when being asked, but then I thought, no, this is really good. This is a very good dialogue. And then I remembered I'd been watching Christian apologists and everything, and a lot of them actually mentioned you, Eddie, and they all everybody always said, he's very honorable. He always hears somebody out. He will always have a chat if he gets the opportunity. So then I thought I'd reach out. And so I'm very appreciative that you gave me the time.
Thank you. You're welcome. And I thought it's a good opportunity because we have Dr. Bilal Phillips. We don't have him on every day. He's also a former Christian. He's somebody who is very well-versed in comparative religion. So if we could be of help, please go ahead and ask away.
So I guess one of my basic questions, I think it's both basic but also deep, is why would you say people are so, at this stage anyway, so attracted to Islam? Because the more and more I speak to people, the more and more, even with an aged care, I have found that there's a lot of people from a Catholic background that has started moving towards Islam. And I just wanted to know, what would you guys say is the attraction towards Islam?
Did you hear his question, Dr. Bilal?
Yes, I heard it. And it's a common question. A lot of people, when you see people who are your friends or whatever, you know, moving in that direction, you want to know. What's motivating them? You know, what are the factors? And And there are a variety of different reasons why people have converted to Islam and continue to convert. This is the fastest growing religion globally understood. And even myself, as you mentioned, you know, I was raised in a Christian family. My grandfather was a minister in the Presbyterian Church in Jamaica. And, you know, Jamaica is a Christian country for the most part. So that's my origins. But I chose Islam for reasons that were related to my individual personal growth. And you'll find that many people who convert to Islam in the West do so on that basis also, you know, that individually they're seeking, they didn't find what they wanted in Christianity or in Hinduism or Buddhism or other isms. And they found the answers that for what they were looking in Islam. This is quite common. So, alhamdulillah, I'm glad to hear our guest sharing his own experiences and his surprise at his friends converting to Islam and wanting to know more. And as Muslims, we try to be as open as possible and share, you know, what we have, what knowledge, what information we have with others.
Abdurrahman, is there anything you wanted to add to that?
I wanted to add, you know, subhanAllah, wherever you go in the world, you will find Muslims. And you will find the trend, the exact same trend, people moving to Islam. And in my own family, you know, my grandfather, my mother's father, he was the deacon of the church in their community. And my father also came from a very religious Catholic family. And you'll find that a lot of times people I've spoken to growing up in these faiths have found that they had questions that were never answered. And similarly, like Dr. Bilal said, is a lot of people come, they simply read the Quran, and they find that many of those questions that they've been looking for over their lifetime are simply answered like that. And I think that's the simple path, the straight path. And I think that everyone who's truthful and has the desire to connect with Allah Azza wa Jal, with the Lord and Creator, will find it.
Emil, is it Emil?
Yes, Emil.
Yeah. Emil, yes. Did they answer your question?
Yeah. It's sort of interesting what our brother said here about you find it to be quite clear when you're reading the Quran. For me, like, because of my friend, I sort of started reading the Quran a little bit myself. Wouldn't be close to an expert or anything on it, but it actually sort of leads into my next question. I was watching a video of yours, Dean, where it's probably about 14 years ago, this one, but where there was a man on, I don't really want to butcher names or anything, but when he was speaking, he said that it was actually you that first said, once you start reading the Quran, it actually clarifies things, and God is not a God of confusion. And where you see, you ended up expressing that when it comes to something like the Trinity, that a lot of people feel quite confused when it comes to the Trinity. What I found, though, is I guess when I'm reading the Quran a little bit, and please, if I'm saying anything that sounds like strange or anything, please just stop me and so on. Like, I'm not here to try and offend anybody or anything. So I felt a little bit confused when I was reading the Quran, and when it was, I guess, the most common verses that Christians will generally bring up and so on. And so I don't want to try and be too common and bore you guys with these, but when it says things such as people of the book, if you are in doubt, or Muhammad, like I said, you can correct me on the verse, I don't mind. Muhammad, if you're in doubt, go to the people of the book. And it seems like it usually points to the Torah and the Injil. And every time I like look at these arguments that goes on online, then there's like a big argument to what exactly is the Torah, what exactly is the Injil, and what do they exactly mean about going to the people of the book. And so I felt very confused with that. And so, I wouldn't mind some clarification. I get it's a very big topic, so I'm not asking for you guys to have a perfect answer here, but just some clarification, I wouldn't mind.
Dr. Bilal, did you hear his question?
Yeah, I got it. In terms of people of the book, this is in reference to the previous books of Revelation, which God revealed to some of his prophets. Not all of the prophets received books. Some of the prophets continued with the book of the previous prophets. It depends on the circumstances. In some cases, the books were distorted, changed, etc. So when God ro rose up from among the people, a new prophet, he would reveal a new book to that prophet. So it is our basic belief that prophets were sent to all the major nations and tribes across the earth, 124,000 prophets. We don't know the names of the vast majority of them. Maybe their books, even the books that came, are not around anymore. Or messages that they had evolved and turned into other things which were maybe even against the original teachings. So all of that is out there. But the essential message, if we consider Adam to be the first prophet of God, and that is our belief, the first human being was also the first prophet of God in the sense that he was given revelation and he guided the first generation of human beings and possibly the second. We don't have the details to go back and say how many generations he lived, but he was the prophet of that first batch of human beings, and God revealed to him right and wrong, who he should worship and what he should not worship, how he should worship, and the commandments. Maybe it wasn't the Ten Commandments at that time, it became Ten Commandments in the time of Moses, it's commandments in the Quran also, but they're not been given numbers, specific numbers. So the point is that God created human beings and didn't leave them to find their own way. He knew his creation was in need of human beings who would also guide them, as well as books of revelation to further guide them, to be amongst them, they would have access to it and be able to benefit from it. But the essential message is that God alone should be worshipped. And the essence of worshiping God is doing whatever God has commanded us to do. Because He creating human beings knows the laws, the rules that human beings need to maintain a healthy society, a healthy community, a healthy environment. And this was the principle followed generation after generation down to our generation. And the essence of it all is guidance for human beings. The human beings were created are not left to figure out things themselves, because we are one human race created by one God. We don't need multiple messages to go figure out for ourselves how things should be, and that, no, the essential way of God has been laid out for us by messengers of God that God sent to guide human beings till the end of this world. So that's the basic picture of human beings and God and the message of God.
Emil.
Yes.
All right. We got time for one more question and we're going to start to go ahead and wrap up. Do you have any more questions? One more.
Yes. Yes. This one was the one I found quite interesting. Was I had my friend and a few others that I've spoken to say that Muhammad is mentioned in the Bible. And I was trying to find out where those passages were. Now, once again, you can tell me yes or no, or just tell me where you see him in scripture. It'd be quite good for me while I'm doing my studies to go look that up and just read a bit further, if you don't mind.
Well, personally, I haven't memorized the verses and the numbers, you know, to give you that information. But we'll pass that information on to Eddie. If Eddie doesn't have it himself, because in your context, I'm sure you've run into this question, you know, more than once. So inshallah, you can either tell him now if you've got it memorized, you remember it, or we can get it for you. You know, there is a couple of verses in the Bible, in the Old Testament, where Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioned by name in Hebrew, right? It's in Hebrew, Muhammadim. It's not a Muhammad as we know it exactly, but it's very close to it, Muhammadim. So that reference is there, the actual scripture and verse number, etc. I don't recall it, but there is argument for it. There are other verses which, you know, describe the prophet's hijra from Mecca to Medina, you know, moving from one part of Arabia to another part of Arabia. It's mentioned in there without a name being put on it. There are vague references, you could say, or pointers towards, you know. But essentially, the Bible does contain much of the message of the Bible in terms of the earlier prophets, etc., the worship of one God, you know, not worshiping idols and God's creation and other human beings. You know, this has been conveyed in the Bible itself, and it is conveyed in the Quran from beginning to end.
Emil,
I don't know,
yes.
Our brother Abdurrahman Roland.
Abdurrahman Roland, would you want to add anything?
Memorized it?
I believe Dr. Bilal explained properly and thoroughly what we believe on this point. And of course, he explained that those words, Muhammadan, are in the Hebrew Bible. And so simply all we would need to do is have that transferred over to you, inshallah, and that's what we will do.
Emil.
Yes.
Thank you very much. You know, usually the advice I give to people is, I mean, it's very simple. It's a part of a longer, a Qudsi hadith. And Sheikh, Dr. Bilal, you can go ahead and expound on this if you want as we depart with our guests. But I usually, with all the confusion out there, you know, something that's very simple, I leave people with homework that God Almighty, the Creator Allah, is saying that all of my slaves are misguided, all of us, unless I guide them. So ask me for my guidance. This is something where I leave people something very simple, is to ask the creator of the heavens and the earth alone. You don't have to call him Allah. You can call him the one who created me to guide me, guide me, guide me. If these Muslims, these Muslims, if this Quran is from you, God Almighty, if this the one who created me, then guide me to the truth. It's very straightforward and simple.
It's the test I think any believer likes to give somebody that doesn't believe as well. So, yeah. Emil, thank you very much.
Thank you for reaching out. Let's stay in touch. I'll get you this. And yes. If you have any other questions, please stay in touch and we'll try to help you along your way.
Okay. No, thank you very much. I appreciate
You're
it.
You're welcome.
Okay. See ya.
See you. Bye.
Bye. It's a pleasure.
All right. So
hope to see you again.
As we wrap up now, knowledge is so important. This is something that we stress very much so, and we have the chancellor, the founder of the Islamic IOU University. Let's spend the remaining few minutes that we have directing people how they can go and take their knowledge to the next level. They've just accepted Islam. As Emil joined us, he's Christian. His friends are accepting Islam. He wants to know more. And hopefully he comes to the realization that this is indeed the truth. There's many people like him who are taking their shahada, testifying that there's nothing worthy of worship except the creator of the heavens and the earth, Allah, and Muhammad is the final messenger. And now it doesn't stop there. It's a lifetime of learning. If you've spent your life, Dr. Bilal, on this journey, and you've simplified it for people in a structured way, let's talk about the IOU, University.
The International Open University.
Yes, International Open University.
The IOU was officially founded in 2010. Launched. It had precursors. I started from the year 2000 trying to set up a university online. But it took me 10 years for it to materialize, you know, after a number of different efforts. And the goal of the IOU, or should I let
Abdurrahman,
because you're the representative in America, you know, you know what people usually ask, etc. You want to share it or you want me to go ahead?
Please, it would be my honor, Dr. Bilal.
Go ahead, Abdurrahman.
Bismillah. So alhamdulillah, as Dr. Bilal was just saying, subhanAllah, we've been around for almost 25 years now.
25
Not officially,
years, wow.
25 years has been the process of Dr. Bilal working towards this vision of providing Islamicized and secular education to our brothers and sisters worldwide. From a fully accredited university, which alhamdulillah, after all of this struggle, from something very small, has now become the largest Islamic online university in the world, providing what no one else has been able to provide. And that's fully accredited, Islamicized degree programs with the secular aspects also fully involved for a price that no one else can offer. All of this straight to your fingertips in the comfort of your home. And subhanAllah, only 1,000 years ago, our same brothers and sisters, our ancestors, were traveling through the deserts and across the land for one or two hadith. And subhanAllah, Allah Azza wa Jal has made it so that now we have the ability to learn our deen very simply and easily, anywhere, at any time, completely asynchronously. So not only did we want to provide something that is Islamicized and something that people can use to get their higher education, but we wanted to provide it to everyone, whether they have time or not, whether they have the financial ability or not, and whether or not they're in the right place at the right time. None of those are factors that will stop you from increasing your education, whether that be the deen or your secular studies here at IOU, alhamdulillah. And that's what we are here to offer the Muslim Ummah. And I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to allow us to continue doing so and to increase the number of students that we have here in the United States and worldwide, so that we are able to make a change through taking action. You know, subhanAllah, we see, Brother Eddie, what's going around in the Muslim Ummah and what's going around here in the United States. Sometimes we look down at our phones and it's unbelievable, it's unfathomable. But this is the test. And the way to get through this test, whether it be the immense amount of fitna, immense amount of tribulations that will always be there, and Allah Azza wa Jalla told us it'll be there, not only in the world around us, but in our families, in our wealth, in our health, within our own selves, lays the tests. And we cannot pass the tests within our own lives, let alone worry about the tests of the ummah, without first learning our deen and being able to understand and see through these tests and navigate our way through them, staying steadfast on the straight path.
And this is all from the convenience of your own home. You can go to what's the website URL?
iou.edu.gm. That'll be iou.edu.gm.
And you can sign up today, and from the convenience of your home, office, wherever you're at, from your computer, if you got one, that's all you need. Wi-Fi connection, you can get started right now.
That's all you need. SubhanAllah, last year, I also want to bring up our audited programs. For those who are maybe not interested or already have a degree, we have programs for them as well. For those who are maybe not interested in the stress that comes with the test and the quizzes of going through a degree program, have our audited programs. The same exact degree programs, whether it be diplomas, associates, bachelor's or master's degrees in Islamic studies, Arabic, education, psychology, IT, and much more, they have the option to do it straight at home. And subhanAllah, our next semester is going to be starting on March 1st, right during Ramadan. We have a 20% discount going now for anyone who's eligible to enroll. So for anyone who wants to jump into those degree programs and get an accredited degree in whatever it may be, whether it be IT or Islamic studies, can do so by simply going on iou.edu.gm, creating an account, uploading their information so that they can get admission, and from there enrolling in our degree programs.
And now those are the degree programs. You also have the other certificate programs, right? That are not degree related?
Certificates, not degree related. You can take the degree programs through our audited choice, which allows you to not have to go through any of the tests or quizzes. So it's simply just the course material, the videos and the modules and all the information. Now, for example, like for the brother we just had on, we have an entire other part of our university, the general diploma aspect of our university, which is completely free. And it goes over aqidah, fiqh, tafsir, Quran, hadith, Arabic, salah. Everything a new Muslim would need or want to know, completely provided for free for them.
Thank you. Thank you again for being with us. Dr. Bilal, anything else you would like to leave us with before we conclude? It's been an honor to have you on again.
My pleasure to be here. And I welcome all the viewers who are taking in this session. And we hope that you would follow the Dean Show on a regular basis, because a lot of knowledge is being shared through it. And we will be coming on from time to time, sharing different topics, etc. It's been a while since our last visit, but inshallah, we hope to be in closer contact in the future. And, you know, as the Prophet ﷺ had said, talabul ilmi farida ala kulli muslim, seeking knowledge is obligatory on every Muslim. You know, we are not coming from a religious foundation where we're telling people, you know, don't read the holy books, the scriptures, just listen to the priest. You know, this is what tends to be the common approach in the vast majority of religions and the like. Whereas Islam stresses the importance of getting knowledge, because with that knowledge, you will be able to determine what is correct and what is incorrect. You know, the knowledge is a blessing from God. We hope that all the viewers who have followed this session of the Dean Show would expand their own knowledge, increase their knowledge, and better know who the God, the Lord, the Almighty, who created this world and the world to come.
Thank you both. Jazakallah khair. Thank you, Sheikh. Thank you. Thank you. Go ahead and don't miss out. It's coming up. March, you said, Abdurrahman, is the new sign up for the new semester?
March 1st is the first day of the new semester, spring 2026, and we have a 20% discount going until then, inshallah.
Thank you, guys. We'll see you next time here on the Dean Show and everybody else. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Allah.